Very good. Please take your Bibles on this beautiful day. Cold outside, but it's still a beautiful day. I'm sure it's not so cold in Puerto Rico.
Yeah.
And go to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 23, verse 22. What I wanted to share with you today, we're coming up to Pentecost Sunday next week. And I wanted to talk to you about another aspect of what Jesus Christ taught his people about the Spirit of God. And this title would be entitled, Walking Like Christ with the Spirit. And in Ephesians chapter 2, and in verse 22, it says, in whom you also are built together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. It's a beautiful verse. You are God's habitation. Go to Colossians chapter 1. This is just to remind you of what we have learned since the teaching that our Lord taught the men who served with him, his apostles. And in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 26, it says, even the mystery which hath been hidden from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. It's the riches of the glory of the mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. You have Christ in you, the hope. That is your hope of glory. Because you have that Spirit of God within you, you have, go to John, please, chapter 13. Gospel of John, chapter 13. See, the ultimate purpose of the Father, the purpose of the ages, was that God wanted to dwell with his people. Now, before all of this was made known, Jesus Christ is talking to his men here at the Last Supper. An enormous amount of things takes place at this Last Supper. You know, we start in chapter 13, and Jesus Christ does communion with them. Then he strips his clothes off, and he starts washing their feet. And he says in verse 15, I know that you're familiar with it. It says, for I have given unto you an example, how that you should do as I have done unto you. The washing of the feet was an example that if he, our Lord and Master, was humble enough to serve and wash his disciples' feet, that none of us, as the disciples of the Lord, should be think that we are too good to serve and to wash the others' feet, you know, the other people that are around us. Then he says to him, verily I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. You know, if you know these things, happy are you if you do them. So he gives them this first great example that day. Then he says a little bit later on, he knows he's going to betray him. He sends him out. And by the way, he says to that man, Judas Iscariot, everything I got to say here is not for you. But I don't want to go into that part of it. In verse 34 of chapter 13, he gives them another commandment. It says, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you. And by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. Nothing probably more important than service and love. But there's one more major category in which Jesus Christ brought to their attention. In chapter 14, I'm going to start reading here in verse 9. Bear with me here. It says, and Jesus said unto him, you know, Philip asked him, Lord, show us the Father, and it's sufficient for us. And Jesus said unto him, have I been so long a time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that had seen me has seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believe thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me. He does the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Jesus Christ had the Spirit of God within him, and he did the will of his Father in every single thing he did. He walked with God by the Spirit that God gave him, and he deliberately and with great commitment followed and walked according to God's will. He obeyed. He obeyed and did the word. Now remember, this teaching, and it's really bigger than just one big teaching, but it is enormous. It's from chapter 13 through 17 of John. There's no way to cover all the details of it in any one given fellowship. But he is presenting to them the key things that they need to live and know and do, because he's going to be leaving. They have had him with them all the time in the ministry so far. Christ has been right next to them, answering their questions, reproving them, helping them, scolding them, playing with them, eating with them. They've had an intimate relationship with one another, and they know that he is the master, and that they've come to know that there's just about nothing that he can't do. He stills the wind on the sea. He delivers their lives. He's healed the sick. He's raised the dead. So they have been the students, the beneficiaries of being in that fellowship. And yet they still don't understand. And they're not going to understand what he says to them on this particular day. They will understand it, though, when the Spirit is poured out. So he says to them, I want you to serve the way I have served. And he shows them by example. The lowliest servant in the house would wash the feet of the guests. And by example, he makes himself that lowly servant, and he washes their feet, and he requires his disciples to have their feet washed. Peter said, "No, you're not going to wash my feet." He says, if I don't wash your feet, you're going to have nothing to do with me. You're done. You're not going to be able to serve any further in the ministry. Because like I said, if you think that the master is too good to wash your feet, then you're going to think somewhere along the line that you're too good to wash someone else's feet. We are here to serve. You know, I think a lot of people want to talk about the Spirit of God, and they want to talk about the evidences and do all of the fun stuff, you know, healing and miracles and getting revelation and no, you know, all that wonderful things. But there is a point, there is a purpose to this whole thing. It's not just for your benefit. It's for God's benefit to reconcile the world back to himself. And the way it's done is the way the Lord did it with them. He washed their feet, and they were to do the same. As he loved them, they were to love. It was a step above what the word said. You know, what The Word of God said, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you love one another. You know, that is far beyond what was written before. So, and he shows with that service, he washed Judas's feet. He handed Judas the sop. You know, that was given to the most honored guest at a dinner. He handed Judas the sop and he loved him. And that man went out. And as soon as he gave him the sop, it says that the adversary entered into his heart and he went out and betrayed him. And Jesus says, go and do what you got to do quickly. But Christ loved. He loved him. And even invited him to come back to Pentecost and be there and be a part of it, but he didn't. But there's this third one here, and it comes, what we just read in chapter 14, it comes through the question, show us the Father. And Jesus says to them very plainly, have I been so long a time with you? I'll read verse 9 again. Have I been so long a time with you that thou hast not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me has seen the Father. How sayest then, show us the Father? When you saw Christ, you saw the Father. When you saw his attitude, when you saw his anger, when you saw his love, when you saw his compassion, he mirrored the Father and the Father's attitude towards God's people, towards the people around him. Believest thou not that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself. These are not my words. These are the Father's words. But the Father that dwelleth in me, he is the one. Almighty God, the Father, is the one that does the works. Jesus Christ just simply, like you and I, when we receive the Spirit, we do what we are told. I do not muster up and bring to pass a miracle. It's not by my will. It's not by my power. If you read Acts chapter 3, it says, why look you so earnestly on us that by our own power we have made this man whole? And he talks, it's the God of Abraham, God of your fathers. The Father is the one that does the works. We just simply, with the Spirit, just like Christ, are the intermediaries of the obedient servants, the children that wish to obey and do the Father's will. You know, and this is how the Spirit of God worked in Christ. He tells it to us very specifically. And this is the first major lesson if you're going to walk by the Spirit of God. And if you're going to manifest the things of God, then this is the criteria of the walk. Now watch this. It continues. Then there's this unbelievable verse that if you didn't understand these verses in light of what I've just said, would be almost sacrilegious to say out loud, except that Jesus was the one who spoke it. He says, verse 12, verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto you, he that believes on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. You can do greater works, he says. Now, most of us would be happy to do half of what he did and think that that's like amazing. But the Lord said it. The Word of God is the will of God. It means what it says. It says what it means. Now, I don't pretend to know what the more is. I don't pretend to think that I understand just doing what he did. Outside of the context of walking in his steps. If you dedicate yourself to serve as he served, to love as he has loved, and to obey the commands of the Father and dedicate yourself to fulfill the Father's business in your life and his guidance through the Spirit of God and your commitment to keep his word, the written word, then there's no reason, because you are going to see here in this chapter, you are going to receive that Spirit. That Spirit is God in Christ in you, the hope of glory. See, the Father dwells in you. You are the habitation of God through the Spirit. That is an incredible truth and an exciting, truly exciting, almost over the top revelation that's laid out here that people don't choose to grab. Oh, I'm not good enough. I'm not this enough. I'm not that enough. I'm not holy enough. We got more excuses than Carter's got pills. Why we shouldn't be able to do the things that the scripture says. Well, the predicate upon which you can do these things is that you walk like Christ walked. You handle your business like he handled it. And you obey with that incredible, sold out, bond servant type of mentality. I'll do whatever you want. I'll think whatever you want. I will speak whatever you want, because you are the Father and I am your Son. And I want to glorify the Father. That's how Jesus lived his life. So now, if you choose to live that way, you can do what he says. You shall do whatsoever. He that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these, because I go unto my Father. I'm leaving. Verse 13. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Whatever you ask in prayer, it'll be done. Why? Because you're thinking and doing the will of the Lord, you're serving and you're loving the way God wants it done. What did God deny Christ? Nothing. What would he deny you? Nothing. Because you're doing his will. You're not asking for a pink Cadillac and $45 billion and win the lotto. That ain't the way it is. You don't need to win the lotto if you have the Father, the creator of the heavens and the earth, that you're speaking with and have a relationship with. You just simply, whatever is needed will be there. He will provide. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Again, it's predicated upon you walking like the Lord Jesus Christ. See, there is responsibility here if you want the power of God in your life. If you love me, you keep my commandments. You obey me. You keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, another paraclete, a counselor, that he may abide with you forever. And the word forever is that till the end of the age. It's the Greek word aion, until the end of this age. See, we don't keep the Spirit that we received on Pentecost forever. This thing is just a token. It's a token of the real deal that's coming. And when the real deal comes, you're going to receive a life-quickening Spirit with new body and a new mind. And that's a whole lot better than the token. You know, it's like when I gave Mary the token of an engagement ring. It wasn't the real deal until she got the package. You know, she received the wedding ring, which was for until death do us part. That was the real commitment. The engagement ring was a token of marriage. You know, some people throw it back, you know, after they figure out who this person is. But your prayers will be answered because you're walking like the Lord Jesus Christ. And he will give us another comforter, it says in the King James, counselor. This counselor, this helper, this counselor will be with us until the end of the age. Even the Spirit of Truth, that's what it's called, the Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive because it sees him not, neither knows him, but you know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. See, this counselor is the replacement for the Lord Jesus Christ being present with them. This counselor that's coming, this paraclete, parakletos is the Greek word, this helper is the Holy Spirit. It is the Spirit of Truth. It is the replacement of our Lord and Savior who is leaving. It is having Christ in you. There was a oneness between God and his Father. There was such a oneness that if you saw me, you have seen the Father. That oneness is yours. That same oneness is yours. You have your Father. You have the Spirit of Christ. They dwell within you. You have the God-given ability to do whatever it is that they work within you to do. Of myself, I can do nothing, Christ said. As the Father says, so I do. You have that kind of oneness with the Spirit that's been poured out. Verse 18, I will not leave you comfortless. The word comfortless is the word orphanos. But we get this word orphan from this word orphanos. He's not going to leave us as orphans. I will come to you. Now, context is he's not talking about he's coming to us at the end of the age when the resurrection happens, when he returns to raise the dead. I believe the context here is I will return to you because if you've seen me, go back to verse 17, because it seeth him not, neither knows him, but you know him. You know this counsel. You know this comforter, this counselor. For he dwelleth with you, and that is Christ in person with them right now, and shall be in you. See, the counsel that you have is Christ in you. It is the Messiah in you. He lives within you. God in Christ in you, it's your hope of glory. When you gel on that thought, when you keep that thought in your heart and your head, there's so many different ways to think about it, but you have a oneness with the Father, a fellowship with the Almighty and with our Lord. You have a fellowship, a full sharing, because they dwell within you. They never leave you, never forsake you. when you're out in left field, they're yelling at you to come back. We call it a conscience, right? You know, but again, they never override your freedom of will. They know what your prayers are before you even ask them. But they do ask that you pray them and speak them. The Father wants us to rely upon Him. He wants us to exercise the Spirit that He has given us by waiting on Him, obeying, doing what He asks us to do. Remember that I mentioned it before in Acts chapter 3 when Peter was going to the temple, Gate Beautiful, and the man was there lame. 40 years he was placed there every day. He was obviously placed there by somebody, so he had some money. And he was asking alms, and Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And then the people said, "Oh, wow, what happened here?" And Peter said, "Why you look so earnestly on me that by my power, by my strength, this man is made whole? It's not by me. It's by God. You just happen to be the giver of what God wanted to give to that individual at that moment, at that time, for God's plan, you know, for the outreach of His word." And remember, God has always been in this world reconciling men unto Himself. That is the Father's mission since Adam and Eve has sinned. He wants us back. He started out with Cain and Abel. He counseled Cain. He told Cain what not to do, to be careful not to go the direction he was going. He went there anyhow. It wasn't because it wasn't good enough counsel. It was because Cain decided to sin. And he wasn't going to get talked out of it. God has always been trying to reconcile man, to lead man back to Him, to show them the way. And He sent His prophets and He sent His Son. And then they killed His Son. But He knew the plan, the mystery. And those of us who believed on Him, who confess Jesus Christ as our Lord and believe that God raised Him from the dead, at that moment you received that token of Holy Spirit and you were sealed with the Spirit of promise. This is the Spirit we're talking about. This is this Comforter Christ is talking about at this particular time in this presentation to His guys. He wants them to understand how it works. Now, he repeats many of these things, service, love, and obedience, three times in this section in different ways. Chapter 3 does the same thing. Talks about obedience and love. If you're not connected to Him, you're firewood. Chapter 15, I think I should have said. But, But again, it's just the same teaching again from a different, just saying it a different way so you don't miss the picture. Look at verse 19. "Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but you see me, because I live, you shall live also. At that day you shall know that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, and I in you." At what day? At the day in which they receive the Spirit. This is the context of the teaching. He that hath my commandments and keeps them, he it is that loves me. If you have the word and you keep the word and you do the word, Jesus said you love Him. "And he that loves me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and I will manifest myself unto him. Judas, love these guys. I'm so glad they were there. Judas said unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou will manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? And Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. If you keep his words, you do what he says, there's nothing but fellowship and love. And it says he will make his abode. Verse 23, this word abode is the word, hope I pronounce it correctly, but it's mon, M-O-N-E is the transliteration for the Greek word. That same word here is in chapter 14, verse 2. In my Father's house are many mansions, mon, abodes. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. That dwelling place, in my Father's house, there are many abodes. The Spirit is poured out to each and every individual. Each and every individual that believes gets God in Christ in them. He dwells within you. See, when the scripture is talking about where God's dwelling place, remember, God who cannot be, he can't fit in the universe. It says that he made the universe. He stretched out the heavens as a curtain. It says the earth is his footstool. All these verses. It says that he is bigger than time itself. He dwells in all eternity, past, present, and future. This God, this almighty God, chose to show his people in the tabernacle that he was there with them. And he made it so that they could relate to him. He had the temple. They could relate to him in the temple. And they could do the sacrifices. And he said that he would hear the prayers that were said in that house. And that was true and kept all the way through to the time of Christ. The temple was still there. But it says in Ephesians, it says, you are now the habitation of God through the Spirit. It says in Corinthians that you are the temple of God. Why? Because he dwells in you, in many dwellings, in many abodes. You have his Spirit. You are the habitation of the Almighty and his Son. What a fantastic revelation. It's really beyond comprehension. You just have to read it and believe it. If you're going to try to figure this out like a math problem, 2 + 2 = 4, good luck. I can't figure it out. I can only take it in. I can only accept the truth because it's scripture and it's true and it's righteous. And if you dare to take a step in that direction, I want to tell you something. Your life is going to blossom. Blossom in service and in love and in a fellowship with the Father. This is what he has wanted forever. This is what he wants in eternity, to be with his people. I will be their God and they shall be my people. And I will tabernacle. I will dwell in them. In the book of Revelation. Where was I? Verse 24, he that loveth me not, he keeps not my sayings. And the words which you hear are not mine, but the Father which sent me. if an individual is just rogue, doesn't want to obey, doesn't want to do it, want to live my life, instead of serving God, you serve the God of self. You know, most people, you know, they serve their little statues throughout history. But today, we just have the God of self. I do it my way. You know, Frankie, one of those great singers, he sang it. I did it my way. You know, it would be the hymn. The theme song. But I'm just picking on Frankie just because the song stuck in my head over the years. But the God of self has been around forever and ever and ever. You know, and God wants us. He is the one who is a jealous God. We worship him and him alone. These things, verse 25, have I spoken unto you yet being present with you? But the Parakletos, the counselor, the comforter, the counselor, the guide, which is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and will bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. That's one of the major benefits of the Spirit. It will bring the word. It will show you the truth. It will teach you and show you and be there with you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, I give unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If you love me, you would rejoice because I say I go to my Father, for my Father is greater than I. See, I often thought of this from their point of view. They are bummed out he is leaving. And they are sad. But they're certainly not thinking about him. If you really love somebody, and you know that they're going back to their Father and they're going back to the family and to love and to joy, and wouldn't you be happy for them? Yeah, it'd be a little sad, but you'd rejoice. And that's what Jesus said. See, right now it's all about them. And for a lot of people, it's all about them. You know, the Bible isn't about you. It's not about us as individuals. It's not about what you get out of it. God has invited us to dwell with him for eternity and to receive the blessings of dwelling with him. But guess what? He's the one that wants this. He's the one that's designed it. He is the one who wants family and children. He is the one who has desired this fellowship with you. And the ones who choose to accept that fellowship, those who choose to humble themselves and live with their Father and obey him and walk with him and serve like him and help other people to come to know him, those are the ones that have a really exciting and wonderful relationship with their Father. He said, you would have been happy that I go to my Father, for my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before, and it comes to pass that when it comes to pass that you might believe. See, they don't know, they don't believe, and they don't get it yet. He said, in that day you shall know that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, and I in you. In that day, when that day happens, and certainly that's what we see on the day of Pentecost when Peter is filled with the Spirit, all of a sudden this is a changed man. With boldness, he stands up and he lets it loose, and he speaks for God, and he speaks the word, and thousands believe. And these are the same people who commanded Christ to be crucified. These were the same people that only a few days before he was hiding behind closed doors for fear of the Jews. What changed him? It was that Spirit of God within him. He knew he had Christ in him. He knew he had the power of God within him. Hereafter, verse 30, I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me. But that the world may know that I love the Father, as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise, let us go. Everything he's going to do, the crucifixion, everything is what God gave him to do. He laid down his life. He was miserably treated, beaten, suffered. He didn't want to do this, but for the joy that was set before him, it says in Hebrews, he endured the cross. Chapter 15, same truths. I know I can't possibly get through it all, but you know what? Same truths. I am the vine. Picture this. I am like a vine, and my Father is the husbandman. He is the farmer. Every branch in me that bears not fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he purges it. He works on it so that it gives more fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide, there's that word, abide, dwell in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can you except you abide in me. You know, if a branch doesn't stay stuck to the vine, it withers, it dries up, and it doesn't bear fruit, and basically it's good for nothing. That's what he's going to say here in a few minutes. But if you stick in him, you stay with him, if you do his word, which is the truth of the matter here, then you will bear fruit. Verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me, in him the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. You don't have him, you got nothing, you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them up and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. See, it's the same second time he said this, said it before, using the example of I've been doing the will of my Father, I've been doing his work, believe me, for the very work's sake. And then if you believe on me, you can do these things. And then he says to them, and whatsoever you ask in prayer, you'll receive. It's the same thing here. If you stay abiding in him, if you do his word, you abide in him. What your prayer life will be exactly the same. It's the same truth repeated in a different form. Verse 7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done. Herein is my Father glorified that you bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples. God is glorified when his children abide in his word and they do the things that he wants them to do. That's how God gets the glory. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue in my love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Do it the way I've done it. Love the way I have loved. Obey the way I have obeyed. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Again, second time it is repeated. Same truths repeated over and over again. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lays down his life for his friends. And that's the truth. That's the ultimate love. Love is sacrificial. Love is not, I know we've got a lot of different ways to express love, but biblically, love is sacrificial. Mommy and daddy sacrifice their lives to put food and a roof over the head, protect the child, take care of it. It's a sacrificial kind of love. A person takes care of their elderly by love. It's a sacrifice. You have to give, and you give a lot, but it's the most perfect kind of love. And the ultimate is the ultimate price people have paid for others. They've laid down their life for another. And Christ laid down his life for us. Verse 14. You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth, I call you not servants, for the servant knows not what the Lord doth, but I will call you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, and that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that you love one another. If the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. Get over it. Just get over it. People don't like you because of your faith. Great. It's great. You are in great company. You don't need to be obnoxious. The world is obnoxious. They will take offense at everything that you believe and everything that you hold dear. Terrific. Just make up your mind. Choose. Christ did. He walked with the Father. He spoke what the Father said. Those Pharisees were offended at him at every turn. He did not submit. He did not give up the truths. He did not take a back seat to anybody. A lot of people think that Jesus Christ is like this old hippie with long hair and love child, bless you, watch you. Will you please read the Gospels? Will you please just read them and get the movies out of your head? The movies are terrible. Read, picture it yourself. He speaks plain. He's strong. He's vital. This is a man's man. This is a guy who's standing up for the truth, for his Father. He is speaking boldly. He's not speaking trying to be harsh and terrible. He's telling them the truth straight up. And they hate it. You have to have guts to speak the word. That doesn't mean you have to be harsh. You just have to speak it without reservation. This is the truth. God created the heavens and the earth. I don't care what the scientists say. How's that one? All right? Marriage is between a man and a woman. Oh, we don't want to go there, right? Come on. just it's what the word says. If you're not willing to stand up for that, then what are you standing up for? I mean, that's just common sense, right? I mean, 6,000 years of human history, man and woman, marriage. You've always had people live in illicit relationships of all kinds. You know, people cheating on one another. People have, you know, 100 wives, 1,000, you know. That's not what the word says to do. Anyhow, I don't want to get off the topic, but he stood for God and he stood for his word, whatever it said. And that is just the phenomenal truth. He chose us. He's the one that has decided to have a family. He is the one who has decided to send his son. He is the one who's decided to send the Spirit. He is the one who decided to dwell within those that would believe. This is his decision, his desire. You just choose to be a part of it. And he wants us to bear fruit. He wants us to walk according to his word, according to his will, to serve like Christ served. Serve the people. You know, you serve as the lowliest servant. You love with that same kind of love that he loved with. It's an impartial love. It's just love. It's not a stupid love. When he knew that Satan entered Judas' heart, he just said, well, go do what you got to do. Do it quickly. He knew he was gone. He knew he was damaged goods. He didn't chase him. He didn't beg him. He just do what you got to do. Once that moment comes, that's love too. Verse 17, these things I command you that you love one another. How often he says it. How often he talks about serving. If the world hates you, know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. And if they have kept my sayings, they will keep yours also. This is the saying that he said to them, you're not greater than your Lord, when he washed their feet. If I, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you ought to wash one another's. They're going to treat me. If they've treated me this way, they'll treat you this way. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me, the Father. And if I had not come and spoken unto them that they had not sinned, but now they have no cloak for their sin. He that hateth me hateth my Father also. You know, if they hate you, they hate our Lord. And if they hate our Lord, they hate the Almighty God. If you're walking like Christ, that is the truth. Now, if you're walking like hell on earth, that's not the truth. Then they got a reason to hate you. But you'll probably be their pal. He that hateth me hateth my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not sinned. But now have they both seen and hated both me and my Father. By this cometh to pass the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law, They hated me without a cause. Again, he's fulfilling the scripture even as we are reading this. But when the Comforter, this Parakletos, this Spirit, the Spirit of Truth, is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of Truth, which proceeds from the Father, he shall testify of me. And you shall bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. These things I have spoken unto you, that you should not be offended. And I'm going to bring this to a close, but I want you to understand. He says to them in 16:7, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. It is more beneficial for you that I leave you. The Comforter, this Parakletos, will not come unto you, but if I depart, I will send him unto you. Wrap those words around in your head. Here, you, how many times have I dreamed of walking next to Jesus Christ in the first century and watching and hearing his words, his teachings, watching the miracles, the signs and the wonders that he did, dreaming of what a fabulous moment that would be. And so desiring to go back in time and to do it. And yet Jesus Christ says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter, this Parakletos, will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. He fulfills this, when it talks about it in the ascension, and that's a different teaching. And when he is come, he will reprove this world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, the Spirit is going to, of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of Truth, is come, he will guide you into the all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. And he shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. This Spirit that has been, it will be for them, it will be poured out on Pentecost. It's about 50, 55 days away from their point of view here. We celebrate Pentecost next Sunday. We'll celebrate it together here with the Word. This Spirit is your God's, you are his dwelling place. You have God in Christ in you. If you choose to love like he loved, serve like he served, and obey the Father and do his word and his will, as Jesus Christ did, whatsoever you ask in prayer is yours. And nothing be withheld from you, and you'll be asking the right prayers. There'll be no doubt in your heart and in your mind that your Father is with you. There's no fear that can come your way. Whatever words you need to speak, he will give you at the right time, at the right place. Whatever actions you need to take or not take will be right in front of you. You wait on the Lord. You be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. You wait on him. And as you read these records, you know, that John 13, and we didn't even get all the way through it, through 17, is that's the summation of how you and I are to walk by the Spirit, what the Spirit is about, what the major categories of things are, what our expectations should be or not be. You know, it's all really kind of there. And then you take that information, and then you watch what God reveals to us in the church epistles of what Christ accomplished and what was done and how the word fits all the way through. And you have a beautiful picture of walking with God, like our Lord and Savior walked by the Spirit. So I love you very much. Very grateful and thankful to we're together. So please join me in prayer. Okay. Father, thank you so much for your love. You gave your son, Father, for our lives. And he gave up his life, Father, for ours and for you. There's no greater love that's ever been expressed than the love that you have loved us with. Keep us from being so foolish as to doubt that love. We ask you to forgive us our sins, Father. We ask you to forgive us our weaknesses and help us. We ask you to work within us to will and to do of your good pleasure. Help us to be obedient children and learn to walk and to listen to your to the voice of your will. Help us to walk in love. Have patience and care and kindness, but be steadfast and unmovable when it comes to truth. Thank you, my Lord, for your deliverance and for all that you have done. Help us to fulfill the ministry of reconciliation with you working within us to reconcile men back to yourself. So I praise you. I love you. I ask you for your blessing upon all of your people. All around the world, watch over them, Father. Take care of them, for they are your dwelling place. And I pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.